الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering on the occasion of Jumu'ah. May Allah ta'ala make it such that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our earthly life be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. There is a direct correlation, there is a direct relationship between a person being aware of his destination, being aware of his final destination and the way he lives his life in this world. To the extent that the person keeps akhirat in front of him, to the extent that a person keeps maut in front of him, to that extent you will find a person leading a straight life. To that extent a person will be cautious about the path that he treads in this world. Why? Because he's keeping that ultimate destination in front of him. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّزَّاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ, that increase, constantly remember that thing that will terminate, that will smash down all pleasures. That thing that will bring an end to all lawful pleasure, all pleasures in this world that a person would generally go into, whether it's lawful or unlawful, but that thing that will restrict it and reduce it is what? The remembrance of death. Therefore we are encouraged to remember maut and we are encouraged to remember death. That is such a thing, it's a sabak for us all. Unfortunately many of us, we attend janazas and we go to funerals and sometimes we read funeral messages, but it has like no impact on us. Whereas this janaza that we see, this mayyit that we see in front of us, is actually a sabak, is actually a bayan on its own. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, when there would be a mayyit, and he would be asked that, Hazrat, give a small bayan on this occasion, that somebody had passed away. He would point at the janaza and he said that this janaza is a bayan. This janaza itself is a bayan, there's no need for me to give a bayan. So therefore this life that we are living in, sometimes we get carried away and we think that we're going to go on and we forget where we are. Especially this time that we are coming into, now in November and next month is December, already people are planning and people are making arrangements to go for holidays. And many times these holidays we end up forgetting that who we are, where we are, what we have been sent for, and very often it happens such that we are going to destinations that are completely impermissible. There was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very beautiful question. His question was, Man Najah? O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is success? You find that sahaba were very desirous of being successful as far as dunya is concerned, as far as akhirat is concerned. They always wanted the true success. Whatever it meant to them, they were prepared to do, but we want success. So this was his question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when he was asked a question, then he would give an answer that was most suitable. So the answer that he gave on this occasion was not just the definition. In the ayat of the Quran Sharif which I read in the khutbah, Allah Ta'ala gives a definition of success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ, that person that is saved from the fire of Jahannam, that person that is entered into Jannah, that person is successful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have just given this definition. You asking me what is success, this is the definition. But rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him a three-step approach to achieve success. And it's a very, very appropriate hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in this time and age, every hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is appropriate, but coming into this time of December, this festival season, this entertainment season, this holiday season, where we're already preparing where we're going to go. Sometimes you ask a person, he's already preparing one to go to Disney World, another person is preparing to go to Dubai, another person is preparing to go here, to go there. So let us listen to these beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question asked was, what is success? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed a three-step approach to achieving success. The first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ, that take hold, control, take full control of this tongue, restrain this tongue of yours. In other words, be very careful what you speak. This tongue is such a thing that is very light as far as its weight is concerned, but very dangerous as far as the effect is concerned. It can cause a person to slip very, very deep. One person explained very nicely. He says that if a person has a slip of the foot, then what will happen? He can break bones. But if there's a slip of the tongue, then it breaks homes. Then very easy it is, a person, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years relationship, person just loses himself on one occasion, and what happens? The whole home is broken. There was a case that had come that a great-grandfather, not a grandfather, great-grandfather, had lost himself in this fit of anger, and he had given talaq, three talaqs to the great-grandmother. Now can you imagine that whole family structure? You've got the great-grandparents, the grandparents, the children, a very united family structure, but one person loses himself at the top, and now that whole relationship is broken, irreparably broken. Why? Because the loss of oneself and the misuse of the tongue. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, amsik alayka lisanak. You want success, be very careful, think of what you are speaking, be very, very careful. There was a father to explain this to his son, that I want to explain a practical demonstration of the effect of the tongue and how dangerous this tongue can be. So he said, son, I want to teach you, I want to do an exercise with you where you can see the effect of the tongue, because sometimes we think they are just words, what harm can it cause? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said that people will be thrown headlong in the fire of Jahannam because of what this tongue earns. So it's not a small thing, it's a serious thing. So anyway, this father told his son that we're going to do an exercise today, that I want you to get, there's a piece of chipboard here, that what we're going to do is you're going to knock some nails into this chipboard. So the son thought that this is a very easy exercise, so he took the nails, there was a hammer that was there, and he knocked the nails into the board. So the father told him, right, the next step of this exercise is, I want you to remove these nails that you just knocked into the board. So the son thought to himself, this also is very easy. So he took the reverse side of the hammer and he pulled out those nails. So the father told him, right, now the next step or the next part of this exercise is, these holes that you made in this board, I want you to pull out those holes. So the son looked at the father and he said, that's something that's very hard. So he said, you see, the misuse of the tongue is like that. When you abusive towards somebody, when you hurl some type of indecent words towards somebody, or you use or you say something incorrect, what happens is you piercing a person's heart. And when you ask that person for maaf afterwards, it's like pulling out the nails from the person's heart, pulling out that things that have pierced the person's heart. But you'll never be able to repair the holes that you made in a person's heart because of the misuse of your words. It's like these nails that have made holes in the board. You can't remove it. That pain will still be there, the way you treated somebody because of your words. And how often it happens that we got staff working for us and we just lose it and we swear the staff or we be abusive to them, not thinking what effect it's having on the heart of that person. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first part of his advice to success, amsik alayka lisanak. The second part of his advice, wal yasa'aka baytuk, that let your house be sufficient for you. Be content with that home Allah has given you. That home that Allah Ta'ala has given you is actually a fortress against many fitan, against many trials, against many types of sin that are found outside the home. So long as, provided we don't bring the fitnas into our home. Unfortunately, nowadays, it has become a common trend that if in a person's lounge there is no television, it seems as though the home is incomplete. But what we've just done is we brought the fitna out of the home into the home. And sometimes it's the videos that we are watching on our phone. Sometimes it's the incorrect things that we are listening to in the home. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sahaba that don't tell me anything about my companions, about my Sahaba, because I would like to come out of my house with a clean heart. In other words, ulama explained that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in his home, there was only clean things spoken. There was nothing dirty that was in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No speaking about anybody, backbiting, etc. Such a clean home. He's telling Sahaba that when I come out of my homes, I don't want you to tell me anything about anybody else. In other words, unnecessarily, because I want to maintain that level of cleanliness of my heart. So therefore, we have to be careful. Allah has given us these beautiful homes. And sometimes you'll find many of us are blessed. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with beautiful homes. But every holiday that comes, that desire is there that I must go out of this house. One person, very wealthy person, told me very nicely. He said, sometimes I think to myself that Allah has blessed me with such a big house. I got a 600 square meter house. I got every type of luxury you can want in a home. Whether it be a jacuzzi, and whether it be a swimming pool, and whether it be all the amenities of a lounge suite, and decorations and designs in that home. I got all that in my home, but sometimes the family say, let's go camping. And now I'm staying in a small tent in the bush, and I'm thinking to myself, am I intelligent? I left such a beautiful home to come stay in the bush. What brought me here? It's this thought and this mindset that we've got, that we must be going somewhere. December holidays are coming, we have to go somewhere. Irrespective of the fitan that is there, irrespective of the sin that is taking place. And if we look at it, you'll find that in this December period, that all the airports are busy, all the holiday destinations are busy, everything is expensive, and yet there's so much of fitna that is found in all these places that we go to, but the desire is still there that I want to go, and I must be part of it, and if I'm not going, then I become apologetic, that the reason I'm not going for holiday is because of some commitment, somebody's not well, whereas the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Wal yasa'aka baytuk," let that house be sufficient for you. You don't have to keep running to another home, another house, another destination. Allah has given you a house. Either you're going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're there in the house. In one hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned so beautifully that the person that goes out in the morning and goes out in the evening for salah, he's going to the masjid. Every time he goes out in the morning, in other words, he's going for Fajr Salah, every time in the evening that he's going for Maghrib, Isha Salah, a person is going, Allah is preparing one grand reception for him, a grand feast, a grand banquet for him, Allah is creating in Jannat. Every time he's going for that morning prayer, that Isha prayer that he's going for, Allah Ta'ala is preparing. And this is not an ordinary feast. This is who? Being hosted by Allah Ta'ala. Where's the destination? Jannat. Can you imagine how often we are going to holiday destinations where we don't even have salah facilities there? There's no salah facilities. And sometimes we think that if a holiday destination got a jamaat khana, got a musalla there, it makes all the other haram permissible. It doesn't happen like that. So sometimes you'll find people coming from far off. I'm just giving a few examples. They may be coming to Amshalanga, to the Cabanas and to the Pearls, and they think that there's a jamaat khana here. So all that intermingling, all that lewd dressing, that nude dressing of the woman in the beaches, and in the swimming pools, and areas where many times alcohol is being drunk, music is being played, they think that because there's a jamaat khana in this facility, now everything else becomes halal. That jamaat khana is not a catalytic converter. It doesn't convert all the other haram and make all the other haram halal. We have to be very careful. What will happen? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi will say a very nice thing. He'll say, ask yourself, what if? Two words. What if? What if the angel of death had to take my life in this place, where all types of haram is taking place? What will happen to me at that time? Wouldn't I be more desirous that my life be taken out in a masjid, my life be taken out in a place where I'm reading Quran Sharif, I'm making zikr of Allah Ta'ala, or in a good environment with good people, or do I want to be in a place of sin, vice, where the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? So therefore this advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكْ, let your house be sufficient for you, be comfortable, content. And it's a mindset. One person was explaining that he says, sometimes I think that this palatial home that I've built and spent so much of money, the person that is enjoying my house the most is my maid. Because the maid is there most of the time. Every occasion I get, weekends come, I must be gone somewhere. Holidays come, I must be gone somewhere. I only come home in the evenings and I sleep. But the person that's there the whole day enjoying the lounge suite, the dining room, the different aspects of my house is my maid. So have we spent all that money to deceive ourselves? And when a person is gone, remember something, that these amenities and facilities don't help a person at the time of death. It's a need, we all need it, we use it. Allah has given us, we use it and we make shukr. But don't think that all that money, effort, time, energies we're spending on the enjoyment of this world is going to be there to help us at the time of death. There was one person not too long ago from one of the towns. I was assisting with the administration of his estate after he passed away, deceased estate. And I was surprised that this person had amassed an estate of close to about 100 million rand. 100 million rand. But when he passed away, the family didn't want the janaza to leave from his house. And this man worked so hard for his family, he worked so hard for everyone. But because of the type of relationship, sometimes when a person is exerting himself in the dunya, he doesn't realize that he's breaking relationship with his own family. He's forgetting his children, he's forgetting his wife, he's forgetting those people around him. So because of that, they didn't even want, and the type of relationship he maintained with them, they didn't want the janaza to leave from the house. Some other distant family member said, I'll take the janaza and we leave from my house. But time comes for the money, everyone is there for the money. Everyone wants the money. But the body, nobody wants the body at that time. So this shows that we have to be very careful. The third advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ, that we are going to make mistakes in this world. We're going to err, we're going to fall, we're going to slip. But cry over your sins. Don't let it ever be such that you make a mistake or you do something wrong and you think it's okay. Don't worry about it. The person is just carrying on with his life. That whenever you make a mistake, cry over your sin. And true crying over the sin is making near to Allah. That, oh Allah, I don't want to go back to the sin. It's not that a person is planning that December is coming now. Let me plan which sinful place I can go to. Which area of sin I can go to. But rather he's thinking in himself, how I can save myself from sin. There's an incident of Harun al-Rashid, rahmatullah alayhi. He was the Khalifa of his time. That he had renovated and made beautiful his chambers. And he had spent a lot of money, time, energy, something that all of us, unfortunately, or many of us get involved in spending unnecessary money in decoration, unnecessary money in beautifying, unnecessary money in things that we don't really need. So a lot of time goes, effort, energy goes in it. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masjid was so simple that the masjid itself would leak. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find that sometimes sahaba would make sajda after it was raining, the floor would be wet, that their forehead would be getting messed with mud. But their lives were full with actions. The masjid was simple, the lives were simple, but actions were full. So anyway, this Harun al-Rashid was the Khalifa of the time, and he spent a lot of money and effort and energies to make and redo his chambers and make his palace beautiful. And now on the grand opening, you know how we have an opening. Generally you have an opening, or a person got a new house and he calls everybody to come see the light fittings I've got, see the tiling that I've put, see the finishes that I've got. Remember, the finishes in the dunya, they'll only finish you. It won't finish. That is how Allah has made this dunya. So therefore we have to reach a level of contentment. Oh Allah, what you have given me, I'm happy with. I'm never going to get it perfect. Everything is not going to be perfect. What you've given me, I make a level of shukr for. So anyway, he calls a great pious person by the name of Abu al-Atahiyya. At that time, he called him and he said, Sif lana ma fihi min na'imi hadhi dunya. That, give me a description of what you see in all this glamour, this beauty now that we've put. You know, like how when a person gets a new house, he asks his friend, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? What do you think? Now he's waiting for people to praise him. So this was the question, that describe what you're seeing here of all this beauty that Allah has given us in this world, all this beauty. So Abu al-Atahiyya was a great pious person of that time. So he gives a couplet at that time. He tells him, Ish ma bada laka saliman fi dhilli shahiqatil qusuri yus'a ilayka bimashtahita ladar rawahi wa fil bukuri fa idhan nufusu taqa'qa'at fi dhiqi hashradatis suduri hunaka ta'lamu muqinan ma kunta illa fi ghururi. So he tells him that love, ish ma badalaka saliman, that love however you want to love. Karle jo karna hai akhir mota hai. How you want to love, you love. He's telling him that you want to love in tranquility, in fortified, beautiful, designed palaces. Love if you want to love like that. And the yus'a ilayka bimashtahita ladar rawahi wa fil bukuri. In that living of yours, you got servants on this side, morning and evening. Whatever you desire, you just give a command. The servants are bringing whatever you want. That's the condition you are living. Then he warns him and he cautions him. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ. A day is going to come when that palpitation is going to start. Internally, that palpitation. فِي ضِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ السُّدُورِ. In that tightness of the chest. When that palpitation is going to start, that heart is going to start be getting tight, that attack is going to start coming. Then هُنَاكَ تَعْلَمُ مُوقِنًا مَا كُنْتَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورِ. At that time, you'll remember that everything that you're seeing and enjoying now was nothing but a deception. It just deceived you on what was your ultimate journey, and the ultimate journey is akhirat, the ultimate journey is death. My time has expired. May Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make it such that we think and we remember this ultimate destination of ours. Anyway, just to finish off this incident, now Harun al-Rashid was a Khalifa, but those days the Khalifa was different from the leaders that we have today. That when something like that was told to them, it affected the heart. That I'm looking at all this beauty and I'm thinking of enjoyment, and this person is reminding me of what a deception I am. So he started crying, he started tearing. So there was one person that was there, started rebuking Abu al-Ata here. They're telling him that this is the occasion of happiness. This new palace and newly renovated and beauty and enjoyment and excitement. What you say, saying these things that are making him sad? So immediately Harun al-Rashid constrains him and tells him, don't stop him. He's seeing us in our blindness and he doesn't want us to continue in the blindness that we are. Many of us are involved in our worldly occupations. Many of us are involved in just decorations, improving and trying to make our lives better. Many of us are in this chakkar, so to speak, of this time and age of this December period coming, where we forget what our destination is, and in that we forget that we are in a blindness, and the thing that will open the blindness is maut. May Allah Ta'ala make it such that our eyes open before our eyes close. The eyes really open and a person realizes where he is going, what is my destination, what I have to do to save myself from that destination. There was one pious person, to finish off, he read a small message on his tombstone. Me ehemta or ye mera wehemta. That I was a very important person. In his tombstone he had a message there. That I was a very, very important person. To reach me you needed to get to my PA. This meeting and that meeting and this flight and that flight. I had to go here and I had to go there. Me ehemta, I was a very, very important person. But this that you're seeing now, this qabr that I am, this was my illusion. This was my deception. I never thought the day will come when I'll be boxed up here. When I sat in my office and I made those phone calls and I gave my instructions and I was flying all over the world and looking at my bank balances and my investments and my balance sheets, I never thought about this day that I'll be in the qabr. So, may ehemta, oh yeah, mera wehemta. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah give us that reality of remembering maut, remembering akhirat. That is the thing that will open up our eyes and save us from many, many fitan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.